if we keep it so expensive to go into medicine from, you know, high school, first degree, potentially a second degree, potentially going, you know, to other provinces, moving away to make sure that you get all the experiences, opportunities, research to really pad your resume so that when you apply to medicine, you get in. All of that takes money.
Yeah.
And so are we really filtering people out? Like the people who are able to afford going into medicine in Canada,
yeah,
it then becomes a certain type of people, a certain type of background, certain type of, and so does that discredit, you know, like amazing physicians who would have become amazing physicians if they were able to afford education in Canada.
I'm Jacob Tome, and this is Study Abroad the Extended Version. Since I started this podcast program, I always inquire myself, is it possible to get a medical degree in Europe? Today, I'm lucky enough to talk to Chloe, a Canadian student who is currently studying medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. Hi, Chloe. So bring me to Canada, like the moment when you wanted to study in Ireland. How did you come across this idea at all? Like how did it start?
Yeah. Well, hi, Jacob. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm Canadian through and through. I kind of grew up playing ice hockey, kind of, you know, learned how to skate before I could walk, kind of a thing. So I did public school throughout my time in Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm from Vancouver. But there was a year where I did boarding school. And at boarding school, I think the exposure to international options is just broader, just because of the demographic of people who go to boarding school. The tax bracket is different. And so there, that's when I learned about programs in the UK and in Ireland where you can go into medicine directly from high school.
Yeah.
And that's not something that's offered in Canada or in North America.
Yeah.
So when I looked into that, my initial hopes were going to the UK, and that was kind of all I knew. But there was one of my seniors, she was like, if you're thinking about going to the UK, you should try also applying to Ireland. You know, it's one application for all the colleges in Ireland. And there's about, I think, 5 or 6 colleges in Ireland that take on international students and have a medicine program. So that's what I did. And then I got through, you know, the interview process, and then I got my acceptance to a college in Dublin in March of that year.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, thinking about student loans and planning kind of, if I do that, am I able to? But yeah, I mean, I think I was way too young to be scared to move across the world.
Yeah.
And so when the opportunity was there, I took it, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. So how much did it cost? Because you mentioned student debt and so on.
Yeah. So when I started college, I pay the non-EU international fees. So when I started college, it was 55,000 euros. And then ever since, it goes up by 1,000 every year. But because of COVID, there were a couple of years where I did the math back when I was curious, and I did 6 years in Ireland.
Yeah.
In Canada, I would assume, you know, it would be the 4 years of bachelor's and then 4 years of medical school.
Yeah.
So if you kind of take that into account, it would be roughly 20,000 a year, for, I had an acceptance to University of Alberta, so that's kind of where I took my baseline for.
Yeah.
So it was about 20,000 a year, and then I think medical school is about the same, so roughly 20,000 to 30,000 a year. And so do the maths for that.
So what do you think about it now? Like, do you have any regrets, or are you completely happy?
Yeah, I mean.
It doesn't have to be
positive. I think there's always going to be, there's always going to be a bit of FOMO, just because I've never had that, like, North American university experience.
Yeah.
And it it's definitely a different path to all the people that I graduated high school from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with the pandemic, it's hard to not take that into consideration.
That is true.
Yeah. Just because that was my lived experience. It was difficult to be abroad and to be alone. And all the social supports that I had here, I couldn't reach out to them because there was a pandemic going on.
Yeah.
So, there's been ups and downs. I would say overall, though, I'm glad I did it. I don't have a regret in regards to studying abroad.
Mm-hmm.
I would have maybe liked doing like a year of college in Canada, see what it's like, and then go abroad.
So one aspect of the program in Ireland is that while you're studying, you're also practicing medicine. Am I correct? It's not like you're doing pre-med like in the States or in Canada, and then you do the medical program, but you're doing medical school, so to speak, from the beginning. Do you think?
Yeah.
How was that?
So every college kind of adapts their curriculum a certain way.
Yeah.
So my college, the 6 years, you can kind of classify them as preclinical and then clinical.
Yeah.
So I did the 6 year program because I'm Canadian. I didn't do an IB program or an AP program.
Yeah.
But for students who did, and for Irish students, they can do a 5 year program. So that's where they enter the program. So my first year was kind of like a year zero. They called it a foundation year.
Okay.
And that was purely preclinical. So we didn't go into the hospital at all.
Okay.
Starting with year one, mm-hmm. I suppose, we get taught clinical things. And that's mm-hmm. called, you know, preclinical. It's a bit more geared towards medicine. But when we actually went into the hospitals, that would be in about like the second half of year two, starting year three, that's when I actually went to the hospital and saw patients and, you know, all that.
Okay. Do you think, was it one of the reasons why you chose this program, aside of how much you pay for tuition in general for over 6 years?
I kind of knew that I wanted to go into medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just from a point of view of like nothing else really interested me during high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to have that clinical exposure kind of early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first time I saw a patient, I was 20 years old.
20, so second year?
Second year.
Yeah.
I think having that exposure for so long kind of gears you a certain way.
Yeah.
I
think for me, I didn't study medicine, but I think that would be one of the reasons why I would do something like, I would choose a program like that, because what if I don't like it? What if I'm, you know, with 18 years old, maybe I want to become a doctor one day, but what if after 4 years of pre-med, I go to medical school and I find out this is not something for me? That would be a kind of a waste of time. I don't know. that's what I think.
To be fair, like, you can kind of think of it both ways. Like, if you're uncertain about medicine and you go into the six-year program like I did, you can have that moment of like, oh, I don't like medicine. And that's true for a lot of people. Like, going from my first year into my second year, people definitely left the college because they were like, oh, like, either, you know, medicine is not for me or studying abroad was not for me. Okay. And... like, fair enough, we were 18. Like, it's a big decision to make when you're 18.
Yeah, it's true. But you were saying are there international students in the program? Where are they usually from? I'm just curious. Yeah.
Yeah, so Ireland has quite a large Canadian international student population.
Okay.
It's quite interesting. There's quite a big alumni network in mm-hmm. Toronto, mainly, kind of like Ontario, Toronto area.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Canadian students. And then our college also offers the 4-year graduate entry program,
mm-hmm.
which would be similar to the North American system, where the students have to have had like a bachelor's degree at least, and then they can take either the MCAT or the GAMSAT. So the GAMSAT is the UK version of the North American MCAT.
Okay.
And with that, they would apply to the four-year program. And so it's kind of like a funnel. So there are people who start 6 years, and then people join them 5 years, and then people join them 4 years.
Okay. But I think 6 years or 5 years makes more sense, right? Because the 4 years, they go to college for 3 or 4 years, and then they do another 4 years. So overall, it's like more like 7 or 8 years.
If I understood correctly. Yes, yeah. So if you go into the four-year program, it would be more similar to the North American system.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And in that program, you can also see a shift in demographics. So there's more Americans in that program compared to Canadians. In the six-year program or the five-year program, there are more Canadians than Americans. And then similarly, you have a lot of Irish students, obviously, in the five-year program, and you have much less in the four-year program.
Okay.
But you also have a lot of EU students kind of dispersed throughout.
Okay. How about outside of the EU? Are there students from other countries too?
Yeah. So our college is quite interesting. We have a sister school in Malaysia.
Uh-huh.
We also have a sister school in Bahrain.
Okay.
So that means we have a lot of Malaysian students, and we also have a lot of Middle Eastern students.
Yeah. What's the name of your school? Is it UCD? Or
no, so I go to the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, or RCSI for short.
Okay. Yeah. Should have asked you, that should be the first question, actually. But
no, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I think it's a very interesting path. So back to I'm not doing this the timeline is not correct, but when we go back, like when you go back to high school, did you have any other options aside of, because you wanted to study medical, go to medical school, and you're English native speaker, and for your options would be go to pre-med and then medical school in Canada or America, or you go to the UK or Ireland. Are there any other options at all? Like, because you went to boarding school, maybe you have other resources.
Yeah, so there were also considerations for Australian schools and Caribbean schools.
Okay.
And those, yeah, I wouldn't be able to comment anything about them just because I didn't go, but they were options. And I think Australia, though, they had 7 year programs.
Okay. How about programs in Europe, but not in the UK or in Ireland? Are people interested in something like that?
So my friend actually went to, or her siblings went to medical. One went to medical school in Poland, and another went to dental school in Poland.
Okay.
And then she ended up, we graduated together, like we're the same age. And she ended up going to Poland for vet school. So the whole family kind of went to Poland to do their post-secondary education. And they had English-speaking programs in Poland. That's also a very popular destination for Canadian students who want to go abroad for medicine, just because the tuition is much lower there as well. And obviously the living costs and everything is lower as well. But as far as I know, you know, a lot of the Eastern European countries also offer international programs. But I wouldn't be able to comment on the...
No, that's fine. I just want to know the options. Like what's exposed to you back then or now?
I was very familiar with many, because obviously I did my research before. I was like, I'm going to spend 6 years in one place. But I think for me, it was important that the patient population spoke English, because it was going to be difficult to have to learn another language to be able to communicate properly with the patients.
For sure.
And I know in Poland, they have translators on hand. But I think that just doesn't, that's not exactly like what I wanted from patient interactions. Mm-hmm. So that kind of narrowed my search down to really just UK and Ireland, Australia and the Caribbeans.
Okay, I see. But just for hypothetically, not hypothetically, but I'm doing another interview with a student from she's actually from Romania, but she studies in the Netherlands. And it's a very interesting program in the Netherlands. It takes, I think, overall 6 years as well. But so for the bachelor programs, everything's in English. And for international students, the cost is also lower. It's like 30,000 per year. And the program's very good because universities are very good. But you have to learn Dutch during your bachelor's degree, but everything's taught in English for the first 3 years, and you have to learn Dutch. And after those 3 years, you can have clinical experience in the next 3 years, but you have to speak Dutch at least like B2 level, at something like that, the European standard. And then, yeah, I was looking for American or Canadian students who are doing this, but I don't think I didn't find any. But there are other European students who are willing to learn Dutch. So just like, do you think that anyone like in Canada or your friends would ever be willing to do that just to save money and just to learn a weird language like Dutch?
I mean, Dutch is definitely, I think, weird is one way to put it. I do think it's quite a funny language. I mean, my friend learned Polish. The one who's graduating from vet school.
Oh, okay.
So she learned Polish. And I had another friend who I met in first year of college in Ireland, who then moved to Poland for her second year.
Uh-huh.
But she has an EU passport, but she grew up in Canada. So for her, learning Polish was also, you know, as a Canadian, learning another language.
Yeah.
And for like, from what I know from talking to her, they had Polish classes, but I don't know if there was like a requirement of Polish fluency before they could go into clinical years.
Okay. Okay. I think one last question, just from my curiosity. Do you think, I mean, it's been like this for a really long time in America or in Canada. I actually don't know about Canada, but like in the States, you have to invest a lot of money to become a doctor. But of course, afterward, you're going to pay off your debt maybe in a couple years. Or if you're from a wealthy family, you know, they support you the whole way. And after that, you're pretty much set financially. Do you think for families or students who are not privileged, who have to take a student debt, do you think that the rise of tuition just kind of turning them away from this path and then maybe force them to look for alternatives? Like, I mean, Ireland is not cheap either, but if there were cheaper alternatives, maybe they would actually consider that, given the quality is very good and they can go back to their home countries to practice medicine. Do you think that would be something interesting for students, or is it like a trend that is going that students are kind of, just because the factor of money and, you know, doing pre-med and medical school, is it like kind of turning people away from this? What do you think?
I think that's a very, we can get into that question for hours. I think there's a couple of things, right? Like Canada has, I want to say 14 medical schools for the entire country.
Okay.
Someone I knew when I was in high school, he applied to a lot, like I think he applied to almost all the Canadian medical schools, and he also applied to some American medical schools.
Mm-hmm.
He was rejected from all the Canadian schools, and he was accepted to Johns Hopkins. So that kind of goes to show you, you know, what Canada medical schools may be looking for may not be purely academic. And so I think with the with going abroad, there are pros and cons. And I think looking at solely the tuition would be a, not to, you know, like discredit your question or anything, but I there's a broader question of looking at the pros and cons of going abroad, because it doesn't come without, you know, cons, right? In, for example, some countries, the match rate, we also have to consider, you know, after graduation, because medical school really isn't the end of it. Like, there's just so much more that comes after. So matching back to Canada and the States, do those schools offer support for that? What is their match rate? Is their curriculum well aligned to the exams that you would have to take for the residencies in North America, if that's your goal? And then also, you know, looking at your personal circumstances, as you mentioned, I think the dollar, like the price tag for going, for becoming a doctor in North America is astronomical. It is insane. In Ireland, if I'm Irish and I go into medicine, considering, you know, my grades are good, I do the exams and all that, it is, I want to say it is about 6,000 euros a year.
Yeah.
And I'm paying 55.
I know. Yeah.
So I think, but not like, not from like a, an angry, like I'm paying so much.
No.
But just kind of looking at the system in general. Should there be an incentive for North America, for, sorry, for Canada, I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
For Canada, because these are public schools, right?
Yeah.
For Canada to decrease the cost to get into medicine. If we keep it so expensive to go into medicine from, you know, high school, first degree, potentially a second degree, potentially going, you know, to other provinces, moving away to make sure that you get all the experiences, opportunities, research to really pad your resume so that when you apply to medicine, you get in, all of that takes money.
Yeah.
And so are we really filtering people out? Like the people who are able to afford going into medicine in Canada.
Yeah.
It then becomes a certain type of people, a certain type of background, certain type of, and so does that discredit, you know, like amazing physicians who would have become amazing physicians if they were able to afford education in Canada.
Okay.
So I think that that does push people away from Canada. And like, we have a healthcare crisis. Like every country has a healthcare crisis, but Canada especially has a healthcare crisis. And during my electives in Canada, like that was very stark. And it's not just money that pulls people in certain places. Like, there's considerations for family. There's consideration for job opportunities. There's just the environment. Do you want to live in that city? And I don't think Canada's doing a good enough job in terms of creating enough doctors to fill those spots. And I think that has to start from a medical education perspective.
Okay.
Sorry, that's like, a very long answer.
But that's a very good answer. I think first of all, I mean, to go back to a point, it's it is just you talk about the current, not crisis, I wouldn't say, but it is just not it's not easy to get a medical degree in Canada just because it's so expensive. But on the other hand, when you go abroad, it's not easy either. There, like what you said, there are pros and cons. And after you finish your medical degree, can you go back to your home country to practice medicine? It's not easy. It's not like the Irish students who can just go to medical school and practice medicine in their home country. So yes, it is not a comfortable situation. And I think that's why I'm kind of digging into this for North American students, because I think it's so unfair, because I live in Germany. The Germans pay even less. They pay 200 per semester. For and the 6 years there, you know, they work in the hospitals already, and they get paid really well from then. And
oh, nothing. We don't get paid.
They get paid, I think, like after taxes, like you get like over 3,000 euros, like first year.
Wow.
Already. and you don't have student debt. So it's so unfair for the Canadians, or I don't know about Canada much, but for Americans, it's unbelievable how much stress and just. So yeah, that's why I'm asking those questions. Is it worth it to study abroad? Is it worth it if the programs are there and you can pay less, even though it's more than which the domestic students like Germans or the Dutch people pay? Is it worth it to do it? And I'm gonna try to find out in this research or podcast. Whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think I'd be able to provide any answers.
No, you already provide. Yeah.
I don't think you'd be able to either.
No, I won't. I just want to pull off the facts. And
yeah, it'll be good to, you know, have those experiences shared. And yeah. I think this is a really good podcast series to do.
Thanks.
I, you know, were thinking about going abroad, and you know, it's 6 years ago, this would have been really nice to listen to. At the end of the day, though, you know. It's good to have information and then to draw your own conclusions from that. Yeah. What's going to be worth it for me is not going to be worth it for someone else.
For sure.
And my priorities are very different to what somebody else's priorities would be. So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's good to have all the information and maybe some insider knowledge that you might not know before you go into medical school.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, of course.
So that's it for the episode. Thank you so much for listening. And in the next episode, I'll interview two international students who are currently studying medicine at Groningen University in the Netherlands. I'm Jacob Tong. Thanks for listening.